Investigating prophecy as it pertains to not only historic events, but current events as well. On my site, www.remnantofgod.org, I have over 2,700 pages of facts exposing all that Antichrist would hope to hide from you and your loved ones. Please understand that I am not called to attack the Catholic people. Prophecy directly identifies the popes of Roman Catholicism as Antichrist and not the individual Catholics therein. There are many sincere children of the Almighty Creator in all churches, including the Church of Rome. The prophecies are merely a collection of judgments, corrections, and revelations exposing this massive anti-Christian organization which has openly embraced paganism. Of course, there are many prophecies in the scriptures that point out errors, demonic doctrines, traditions of men, etc., in all religions, Christian and non-Christian alike. The fact of the matter remains that the elect of the Lord, no matter what church they are standing in at this time, will always accept correction from their loving Heavenly Father and do as Revelation 18, verses 1-5 declares. They will come out of these churches. They will not turn a deaf ear, a blind eye, or a cold heart to the truth provided in His holy word when it is made known unto them. It is for these children, the past, present, and future members of the remnant of God, that I proclaim the three angels' message of Revelation. If you have any questions or comments or feel that you feel would be a blessing to others, please feel free to call me during the last half of this show at 1-800-858-6582. For anyone that calls in the show, if you give us your name and address, I'll send you information about the beast and his mark, along with information on how to receive some free books regarding Antichrist and his modern-day desires, as well as a free Bible study course on prophecy. If you are listening to this broadcast online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com, using dial-up, and do not have access to a second phone at this time, I invite you to join me on the website at www.remnantofgod.org. Once there, click the silver microphone on the main page and follow the prompts to the public room in the POGM audio chat section of the website. You can then text chat any comments or questions you have to me during the show live. Now, lately, there has been a bit of indifference in the air about the true child of God. Some of you already know what it is I'm speaking about. In fact, this air of hate has been growing in a rather frantic pace lately. Personally, I have seen the hatred of those that fear the truth we preach becoming more and more bold against it. And rightly so, for not only is the media fueling their desire to hate those that preach Bible truths, the laws of the land are making it appear the governments of this world approve of hating the Christian as well. Now, typical hate crime laws criminalize the use of force or the threat of force against a person because they are a member of a specific protected group. With that said, how does the hate crime legislation stack up? There's actually four definitions. You got Hate Crimes Statistics Act of 1990. You got the Bureau of Justice Administration of 97. You got the Anti-Defamation League, and then of course the National Education Association. But they all more or less say the same thing. Like the ADL says, a hate crime is any crime committed because of the victim's actual or perceived race, color, religion, ancestry, national origin, disability, gender, male or female, of course, or sexual orientation. Now, the word perceived here is important because many vicious assaults are based in error on the incorrect belief that the victim is Jewish, gay, or a member of some other group that the perpetrator hates. Traditional hate crime legislation protects persons because of his race, color, religion, or national origin, as in the case of the 1969 Federal Hate Crimes Law, which is 18 U.S.C. Section 245. Most state laws now include additional protected groups. Some laws are restrictive and only protect a member of a group if he or she is involved in a specific activity. For example, the current 1969 federal law only applies if the crime happens when a person is attending a public school or is at work or participating in one of four other federally protected activities. Now, within the definition of hate crimes, one can see that the governing forces identified religion as a source of hatred. Well, this is, of course, true to some extent. But when you compare it to the other reasons of hate, it pales in comparison. For example, on my website at remnantofgod.org, I have a page in the warnings section where it speaks of hating the Christian. In there is a chart which shows In the first column, the basis of the crime. Like it would be either race, religion, sexual orientation, ethnicity, you know, which is national origin, or disability, or multiple bases, and it goes on from there. But it shows the data from 1995 through the year 2000. It shows how many crimes were committed. For example, in 1995, there were 7,947 hate crimes. Out of these crimes, 61% of them were because of race. Religion fell a weak second at 16%, and then sexual orientation was at 13%, and ethnicity, national origin, was at 10%, and it was nothing in the other two categories. And it just goes on like that throughout the years. It's kind of like the averages from 95 to 2000 is going to be hitting at about 60 to 62% for race, around 16% for religion, because it stayed constant most of the time, except for it jumped up in 97 and it jumped up in 99, mostly because of the Y2K thing. But the, and then you got the sexual orientation stayed constant around between 13 and 14% throughout those years, and it jumped a little bit towards the year 2000. And then the rest of them really doesn't matter. They're just so the numbers are quite low. But my point is this. Did you notice that the hate crimes levied against religion more or less will stay constant from 95 to 2000? On the site, you can see this easy enough at that page. Now, granted, 16% is no small problem, and I'm sure some biased calculation may have been allowed for a bit of puffing up in the totals. But still, 16% is not a big number in either respect when comparing it with racism. Yet lately, we have seen a surge in the media attacks, as well as hate crime legislation that is geared directly towards religion. Why? Well, I recall many years ago when I was in charge of a computerization of a Baptist prison ministry back in the early 90s. During this time, it was made known unto all the preachers that desired to counsel people in the prison that they would not be allowed to speak out against the Roman Catholic Church within prison walls. You could not tell a prisoner who was Catholic that he was in the Church of Antichrist, and you could not tell him that he had to leave that church, or you would have your chaplain ID pulled and your ministry in that prison would be stopped immediately. Looking again at those numbers, I see racism is persistently the main issue regarding hate crimes. Now, let me ask you this. If you could somehow identify people that preach against your religion as racists, you would be in an ideal position to gain political preeminence, would you not? I mean, the numbers of hate crimes concerning racism are in the upper 50 to 60 percentile across the board, as far as history can record, in fact. But if you add religion into the mix, you stand to make racism a very powerful and noticeable problem, one that is definitely capable of being lobbied and used as political mainstay for vote gathering. Think of it. Adding 16% to the highest year of racial hate crimes, which was 62%, by the way. Let me see what year that was. 1996. So, if you add 16% to the highest year for racial hate crimes, you would have a very lucrative 78% in the racism problem. Now, everyone knows that religious hate crimes are not going to get much worse as time goes by, simply because only the confused fanatic would seek to do harm in the name of their God. The 9-1-1 tragedy confirms that fact. Most religions on earth deplore violence, so something is needed to boost the statistics concerning religious hate crimes. Would not numerous laws be lobbied to put a stop to such a massive problem as this if this were the case? A hate crime category that shows such a high number as 78% would most definitely be considered worthy of government control. Would not the media as well as the churches be very active in pushing their ideas on how to stop it? And would not every politician that seeks issues that are important enough to harvest votes play on this obvious cash crop, no matter how much it is puffed up? And again, would not every entity that favors this agenda use this against any politician that would not look to it as an issue worth addressing? You know, in other words, if you're a politician that chooses to ignore this issue, you would eventually find your career in jeopardy. With that said, listen to this headline. Fundamentalists wrong about Bible, the Vatican says, Associated Press reporting, March 18, 1994. A new Vatican document on how to interpret the Bible condemns the fundamentalist approach of the word-for-word literalism as distorting, dangerous, and possibly, are you sitting down, leading to racism. Common sense is all one needs to see why the Vatican in Rome would declare such idiocy. They know that racism is in no way connected with religious beliefs. In fact, they of all people would know that. Some could say that racism is connected because, you know, most Muslims are of Middle Eastern descent, or most synagogue attendees are Jewish. But, you know, the same argument is moot when speaking of the Roman Catholic Church and its members. absolutely every nation on earth today now has a Catholic Church in it. So playing the racism card here is merely a political tactic that would see Rome as a mainline beneficiary to it. Even prophecy proves this reality. It states plainly in Revelation 17:1, "Come hither, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now, I'm not going to give you my interpretation of what this means. I'm not going to give you my opinion. The Revelation has 404 verses, and out of those 404 verses, there's 278 of them that carry the bulk of the message, and they're found almost word for word in all the other books of the Bible. Peter is very plain when he states in his book that no prophecy is of any private interpretation. So let the Bible explain this symbol, and what does it say? Revelation 17:15 says, "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." And whore, by the way, is a woman. Jeremiah 6:2 says a woman is a church, but if she's a woman who's a whore, it's an apostate church. So, this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Vatican's statement regarding racism was a bold-faced lie, spoken only to benefit their political agenda. How can one be considered a racist when speaking out against the Roman Church when that church contains all races known to man within her walls? It's truly that simple. If a black man speaks out against the Catholic Church, the Vatican cries racist, yet many Catholics are black. If a Mexican or an Indian or an Italian or a Polish man speaks out against Catholicism, the church yells racist, but there are Mexicans, Indians, Italians, Polish, I mean, there's all sorts of race. I mean, pick any race, and you'll find them in this church, just as prophecy said you would. The lies are truly that transparent to see, yet the laws will be passed and the idiocy will be enforced. Can you believe it? The Vatican has twisted the gospel preached by the children of God Almighty into a dangerous act. An act they say can actually lead to nothing less than racism. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ exactly as Scripture defines instead of as Rome defines is now called racism. This has to be one of the easiest to expose lies to date. Still, many blinded people will ignore the obvious and grasp the lie they cherish instead. And for those that do see the lie, there is yet another ace up the sleeves of Rome. The Roman Church is never satisfied with just one frontal attack, as we all know from studying history. If the racism card doesn't hold true, the heresy card will do just as well. The Archbishop of St. Louis said, "Heresy and unbelief are crimes, and in Christian countries, as in Italy and Spain, for instance, where all people are Catholics, and where the Catholic religion is an essential part of the law of the land, they are punished as crimes. Every cardinal, archbishop, and bishop in the Catholic Church takes an oath of allegiance to the Pope in which occur the following words: heretics, schismatics, and rebels to our said Lord the Pope or his aforesaid successors, I will to my utmost persecute and oppose." That's in Joshua Strong's book, Our Country. Now, what happened to evangelizing or preaching? Rome only seeks to persecute and oppose, it seems. The Roman Catholic Church feels it is her duty to rid those that speak out against her by force. And what is always a good way to get such force legalized? You need to get the media pumping all sorts of anti-Christian lies so as to make the Roman Catholic agenda become appealing to the lawmakers of the land. Rest assured, there will be religious laws in the United States a lot sooner than you think. As a matter of fact, there already are some. You can read the Roman Catholic IRS page on my site. What else, or why else, would the following articles be flooding the media? Headline: Christian accused of inciting hatred. Herald Sun, May 28, 2002. A Melbourne Christian group has been accused of vilifying Muslims in what could be a test for Victoria's controversial new race and religious hate laws. Race and religious hate laws? What the Vatican suggests seems to have already been accepted by some. In fact, Australia has had them on the books for years. I recall when I first placed Presence of God Ministry website online, a small town near me had an ISP in the library of their school. The site only had a small amount of data on it because I just started out, you know, maybe 200-300 pages. Suddenly and completely out of the blue, my ISP was contacted by three Roman Catholic lawyers from Australia telling them to shut my site down immediately. The ISP contacted me and told me they would have a town meeting about it that week. I assured them that I had no interest in attending the meeting, but I also told them that if they had decided to go along with the wishes of these Roman Catholic lawyers and shut me down, they would have major legal ramifications to contend with pertaining to my First Amendment rights as a U.S. citizen. Needless to say, they did not shut me down. They told Australia, "Hey, we freedom of speech here." However, a few months later, the Almighty revealed to me in prayer that it was, in fact, time to move the site, to seek out another ISP as soon as possible. I uploaded the site to the new location, and almost immediately, things started to happen with the other one. I never deleted the old site, however, because many were still using it and linking to it. Now, 2 weeks later, at the original ISP that I was using from the library, it was conveniently hacked. They were hacked in such a way that literally forced them to be shut down. The international hacker, which I believe came from China, generated a massive phone bill on their end by ghosting the ISP as their telephone line generated a $30,000 phone bill. Now, it states it's coming from China, but you know how you can play the nodes, and that, at least that's what these hackers do from what I understand. That small town couldn't handle that. The FBI came to town to confiscate the hard drive so as to investigate the hacker. Then 2 or 3 days later, my new ISP was hacked in the exact same way. Difference was, this ISP actually has competent hackers working there, so that they were very knowledgeable in security matters. So, needless to say, their security measures stopped the hacker in his tracks, but the FBI still came and took the hard drives just to investigate. So, what happened? I don't know. And was it geared towards me? I don't know. I don't care. I mean, is this related to the Catholic lawyers from Australia? Again, no clue. But it does seem rather suspicious, to say the least. Both ISPs hacked by the same method within days of each other. All that matters to me is that I know who was behind the whole thing and why. Satan was involved in both instances for obvious reasons. Only a fool would ignore the realities. The dog doesn't bark unless you annoy it. Not long after that, I received the now infamous $6 million offer to shut Presence of God Ministry down to take up a different calling that they said was from God. You can view the facts regarding the $6 million offer in my May 23, 1999 Truth Provided newsletter. You can actually download the 38-page contract they sent to me. Who sent it to me? Read the contract. So, how far will the papacy and its puppets in the media and the political realm go to quench the Christian? Headline: World Council of Churches prepares briefing for United Nations. Reducing or eliminating racism requires people to change their hearts and see the image of God in people different from themselves, said the World Council of Churches. Central Committee member Naboth M. Mukapa of Zimbabwe, he was the Connectional Secretary for Racial Justice, Methodist and from the Methodist Church in Great Britain, at a February 2 brief press briefing. The goal of anti-racism efforts should be to help all people recognize there is one human race, he added. The briefing was related to the upcoming United Nations World Conference Against Racism, Racial Discrimination, Xenophobia, that's the fear of other nationalities, the global agenda. People are afraid of it, so they just tag it for xenophobists. And related, of course, intolerance in Durban, South Africa. In preparation for the WCC, had submitted a series of suggestions to United Nations High Commissioner for the Human Rights for consideration. It has also scheduled a number of consultations on racism at the UN, leading up to the international conference. Churches have been at the forefront of fighting racism in Europe, but are not without their own racism issues. According to Mukapa, Europe has accepted racism not only as a problem in society, it is a problem in our churches. Racism has to do with prejudice supported by power. You can actually get this article, I believe, at news.christianunite.com. It appears that they will entice United Nations via the World Council of Churches to get their desire made known. Is it any wonder the Pope was elected the leader of the One World Church? Not only is he the leader of that prophesied Church of Antichrist, he is also the only, the one and only, religious representative at the United Nations. This allows for much easier access to the movers and shakers of this world that allow for his agenda to be made into law, especially since the Pope is now the leader of the UR as of June 26, 2000, which is the United Religions, which the papers were signed on June 26th, the same date as the UN, but instead of 1948, it was in 2000, and in the same hotel room. Something's up here. This indeed is a powerful global voice that can and will sway the political arena into enacting all the laws necessary to enforce the mark of the Roman Catholic beast. Prophetic fact is, prophecy did say that the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed in Revelation 13:15. And according to prophetic understanding, speak equals legislate, cause equals laws. I wonder, will the anti-Christian people of this world go so far as to try to declare the Bible itself as a source of hatred so as to better fuel the fires of persecution being aimed at us, the true Bible believers? Headline: Activist makes headway in quest to make Christian Bible hate-free. This is from the Jewish Telegraph Agency, Incorporated, out of Philadelphia. Irvin Borowski now sees some light at the end of the tunnel in his 18-year campaign to modify New Testament language. Excessively faulting all Jews for the suffering and execution of Jesus kind of sounds like what's going on today with Mel Gibson's movie. His goals included modifying the King James Version Bible in favor of hate-free text, making the same inroads with the sources of the children's Bibles, urging hotels to replace millions of Bibles with more acceptable versions, and eventually impacting on sermons discussing Jesus' life and death. Only the American Bible Society among 20 major publishers have been cooperative until now, but a number of children's Bible publishers have been quicker to make recommended changes. You know, before you know it, the Bible some hold in their hands will be used to prove true Christians are hate mongers. What amazes me is that the Jews mentioned in the scriptures are also the parts of the good guys. Jesus was a Jew, as were all the apostles. In fact, all those that believed in Jesus and did not yell crucify him were also Jewish people. Why is it everyone only concentrates on the Jews that did wrong? Because Satan will do all he can to make the truth appear evil. Take, for example, what's happening in Canada right now. Bills have been passed back in September of 2003 that will cause Christians to be jailed up to 5 years for using a Bible to preach their hate to homosexuals. This kind of reminds me of an article I saw a few years ago where Roman Catholic Cardinal Bernardine more or less attempted to use the same tactic. He didn't actually seek laws to outlaw preaching to Jews regarding their sin and rejecting Christ, but he did suggest a rewrite of the Bible to try and prevent the truth in this manner from being proclaimed. In other words, this anti-hate movement that is attacking the Word of God was first mentioned, now listen to this, the first time it's ever mentioned regarding hate words in Scripture was from the halls of Rome. And here's your proof. Sunday, April 9th, Daily South Town Economist, opinion section, 1995, written by Andrew M. Greeley, who was in fact a Roman Catholic priest, states this. Cardinal Bernardine's lecture at Hebrew University regarding statements on the verse, John chapter 8, verse 44, Bernardine remarks. These statements can no longer be taught as authentic doctrine or used as catechism by contemporary Christianity and can no longer be regarded as definitive teaching. Christians no longer may believe that the words that the Jews are the children of the devil are words Jesus actually said or are the revealed word of God. As you can see, the Roman Catholic Church has always been at the forefront of evils such as this. They make a statement, then the media picks up on it, it's paraded before the eyes of billions, then the politicians get wind of it, and before you know it, it's done. Truth is, Jesus was not singling out Jews as being the only evil in scriptures at all. In fact, he directed his ministry to preaching only to the Jews the entire 3.5 years he was walking on this earth during his ministry. Then, after he died, resurrected, and ascended, his apostles also concentrated their efforts preaching only to the Jews for the next 3.5 years. That had to fulfill the 490-year prophecy out of Daniel. I mean, this constitutes the actual week of Daniel. So many preachers like to say it is a 7-year trip. I mean, check out my 7-year trip fact or fiction page on the website for the actual documented historic events that occurred during that prophetic event. You know, it wasn't until the Jews stoned Stephen did the prophecy see fulfillment, and the message was now to be preached to the Gentiles, the prophecy of Hosea 2:23, and then you get the fulfillment of Acts 13:46. Hosea 2:23, Acts 13:46. But seeing how the Antichrist wants the hate agenda to gain speed, he has all along made it a Jewish problem, so as to generate what we see today. Common sense supports the reality of these facts. Only Jews were being ministered to. So one would understand that only Jews would deny it as well. Still, not all the Jews denied Christ. It was only the haters of truth that placed Christ on that cross, and it is still the pharisaical haters of truth that push for hate laws and rewritten Bibles in today's world. And when you hear of those being baptized and saved in the Gospels, who do you suppose these people are? Since the Lord is concentrating his efforts towards the Jewish nation for the next 7 years since he got baptized in the River Jordan, because Daniel says in the midst of the week the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for sins of his own. And what happened? 3.5 years after Jesus got baptized, he was crucified, but not for sins of his own. And then for the next 3.5 years, the apostles concentrated with the Jews. One can easily understand it would most likely be the Jewish people accepting Jesus Christ when placing the truth in the light of day. One can understand why the Jew was hated, right? It was from the house of David the Messiah arrived, and it was here that the Christian church started, and Antichrist hates Messiah and his church. And since the Jews first embraced him and allowed for his gospel to be proclaimed, Satan has focused his attack on the Jew. The Christian Bible identifies the evils of this world. The history book confirms the prophetic facts as well. The evil ones do not like being brought into the light of truth, so they prefer to censor truth as best they can. The Catholic Church burned the Bibles in the Dark Ages, as well as put the Bible on the Index of Forbidden Books in the Council of Valencia in 1229 AD. And now we see the Jewish nation seeking to censor the Bible again. All the world truly does wonder after this beast. So, I mean, still they will they attempt to stop even everyday run-of-the-mill Christians from speaking of Jesus in public? Do you think it'll get that bad? Headline: who declared open season on public religious speech. This is from, where did I get this from? Seattle Times Company, January 25th, 2000, Seattle Times. It says, I find the current hostility to be, or to religious evangelism, profoundly disturbing. This includes attacks on the missionary activities of the much maligned Southern Baptists. According to the Seattle Times, in an article on September 11th stated, or the headline, it was called Baptists High Chutzpah, which condemned Baptist efforts to convert Jews, the Baptists should learn to respect the values and privacy of others. A group of religious leaders in Chicago has gone further, recently urging Southern Baptists to cancel plans to send missionaries into their city this coming summer because seeking to convert others could contribute to the climate conducive to hate crimes. Missionary activity a hate crime? Apparently, yes, according to the new politically correct view of religious liberty being offered up by guardians of completely secular public arena. Wow. Can you imagine? Sharing one's faith with another is now seen as an act that can contribute to a climate conducive to hate crimes. Is this a surprise, people? Were we not prophetically warned of such things long ago? The fact is, it's always been the same old story, hasn't it? Just as all the prophets of old and Jesus as well as the early church had to deal with hatred such as this, apparently, so shall we. Can you see how the devil is twisting the truth as well? We do what we do in love. We share biblical facts onto all we meet in love. We warn as many as we can of the eternal dangers out of love for them. Yet somehow we are the ones that will be tagged hate mongers. Regardless, 1 Peter 3:16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evil doers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. It amazes me how every fabric of society is being broadsided by this Roman Catholic-initiated hate crime agenda. And I mean every fabric of society. You're not even safe on a bus. Headline, Religious Talk is Bus Stopper, Woman Says, by Diane Brooks, again, Seattle Times, where this was April 7, 1999. I felt humiliated like a criminal, she said. Shocks, who is 5 months pregnant, said she was dropped off a mile from her regular bus stop. She said she had to walk, or had to make a 20-minute walk home in heavy rain along the shoulder of the Bothell-Everett Highway in evening rush hour traffic. All I was doing was talking about Jesus Christ, which I know isn't a crime, said Shocks, who lives in the Bothell area. Soon it will be considered a crime to speak the name of Jesus Christ as he is described or portrayed in Scripture. Sure, you can speak of the Catholic Jesus, but don't dare speak of the true Jesus Christ in Scripture, or the ecumenical Jesus you can speak of. Or, if you don't, it may be considered a hate crime. And I recall, back when I did my very first funeral, I was outright threatened during the services while on the pulpit by the son of the deceased in the back of the chapel because I refused to preach the dead man into heaven. And I saw an awesome opportunity to share the real Jesus and his plans for salvation to those grieving the passing of their loved one who died in a drunken stupor. And I tried to share with them as loving as I could possibly do that I could not say whether he was in heaven or hell, but I'm not his judge. I therefore refused to claim him to heaven. I could not justify saying anything like this. After the break, I've got a few more articles I'd like to share with you. And then if you'd like, you can call in 1-800-858-6582. Coming from the back of the chapel. The Lord did, in fact, protect me from danger. However, this next preacher didn't fare as well. Headline, pastor beaten after blunt eulogy. Loxley, Alabama, Associated Press reporting June 21, 2002. Authorities in Loxley, Alabama, are investigating the alleged beating of a preacher by funeral mourners who didn't like his blunt eulogy. Glynis Bethel told the Associated Press that her husband, Reverend Orlando Bethel, was attacked during a June 14th funeral and dragged out of the church. That's because Bethel told mourners the deceased was in hell and they were headed the same way. The dead man was Glynis Bethel's uncle. Orlando Bethel referred to him as a drunkard and a fornicator. Glynis Bethel, who also the preacher, says the fornicators didn't like what he said, so they got up and beat him. She says the police didn't make any arrests, so she and her husband, who may have a broken nose, are taking out warrants. Now, I don't agree 100% of how this minister handled the situation, but I do feel for this preacher because of the same thing almost happened to me. The man that was threatening me at my first funeral was drinking at the time and very obviously a drunk. As for what the beaten preacher said in the article, I don't agree with him. I do agree these people were headed for hell, but how does he know that the man in the casket is hellbound unless he saw him firsthand die in his sins? Yes, we can know them by their fruits, but I also understand thief on the cross theology. In other words, what if something happened that this preacher was unaware of? That's why I didn't say anything regarding the way the man died or concerning where he was headed at my funeral. I truly didn't know what occurred in the last moments of his life. Hatred of the truth is a major reality in today's world. I see the news groups, newspapers, email, audio chats, and on the street. Truth is not a very popular message in these last days. Still, it is not something that can be quenched. They couldn't stop the apostles. They couldn't even stop the Christians after them. Even if they burned them at the stake, truth continued. Boiled them in oil, truth stood firm. Buried them alive, truth was still proclaimed. Truth bearers were also cut in half, hung in trees, skinned alive, or poisoned. I can't even list all the ways the Roman Catholic Church killed those that stood for truth. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you can get it online. You'll get an idea. And by the way, that book shares historic evidence that the Vatican killed over 500 million Christians. That's over 83 times more people than Hitler. But do you ever hear about it in the history books? Nah, they just call it the Dark Ages. For those Catholics that deny this, or are you aware of the mea culpa of Pope John Paul II on March 12th, year 2000? He admitted it. He admitted the church did in fact kill all the many millions of Christians because they refused to join their church. Every media outlet recording all the statements of that day made it very apparent. It went global. And for those that think this will never happen again, were you also aware that the Vatican, under the jurisdiction of Pope John Paul II, reinstituted the Office of Inquisition and changed its names to the Holy Office in February of 1991? Nevertheless, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ still has his faithful truth bearers proclaiming his wonderful and eternal heavenly truths for all to hear. It'll never end. So, since torture itself won't shut Christians up, do you think the governments will have to come up with other ways to try and control them? Yeah, don't get me wrong, the torture will never stop, nor will the martyrdoms until the plagues begin to fall and probation is closed on all the world, like Revelation 22:11 confirms. Sad fact is, some Christians are weak and unable to trust the Lord Jesus when a threat of torture or death stands before them. Now, rest assured, I believe that all those that cower in fear will be swayed by thinking in this way, perhaps. What good can come of my death? I can better glorify the Lord alive. So they will accept the mark of the beast without knowing it and perish, thinking they are better able to serve the Lord alive. I mean, what are the rest? They need to be controlled, do they not? The ones that won't bow? They need to be rounded up and dealt with, because they won't compromise. I wonder, do you think they will start asking for religious ID cards? We already know about the national ID card. That's inevitable, but what about religious ID cards? Headline, religious ID cards. Weekend news today, March 16, 1999. A visiting delegation from the American Jewish Committee met last Friday with Greek Prime Minister Kostas Tsimikas and other governmental and church officials in Athens. Discussions were aimed at enhancing Israel's relations with Greece, and which have room for growth, and said that the AJ Committee Executive Director, David Harris, some of the talks focused on getting Athens to change a law that requires people to list a religion on their ID card. Now, is this no different than a star placed on the clothing of the Jew by Hitler? What will this lead to? Well, picture this. a national ID is issued. They will ask you the normal questions, of course, that already infringe upon your privacy. But now, thanks to the media hype that uses the 911 tragedy to their advantage and they milk the daylights out of it, they will ask for your religious denomination as well. What do you think? What do you suppose will be the reason behind all this? Terrorism prevention, no doubt. It will also allow for a better demographic view of each and every citizen in the USA as well as any other country. Rest assured, not only does the government plan on taking advantage of that valuable information for both public and private use, but politicians can better fine-tune their attack on you by pulling on the predefined heartstrings you have already displayed on your ID card so as to better cultivate your vote in your area. Fact is, there are a lot of reasons for hate crime legislation that afford only the governments of this world even more control. Ain't gonna help us any. It's not gonna go up. It's not gonna go down. However, when you look at the one and only entity on planet Earth that stands to gain the highest benefits in all this, one can surely see why the Vatican in Rome is so hopped up on getting these laws passed. They have done it in other countries successfully. They even have laws, of the laws of the land, fashioned after dogmatic statements of Rome in Europe. In fact, do some modern-day research. Historic research, in fact, on the events in Europe. Notice how the Vatican prompted each and every aspect of certain laws to be passed so as to make Europe the living example of a one-world government, and to prove that it can work in today's society. And were you also aware that the USA government now has certain stipulations placed within the requirements of a 501c3 tax-free status? On my Roman Catholic IRS page in the warning sections of the website, you will see rock-hard evidence that states if you want your church or charitable organization to have a tax-free status, which, by the way, is a trap, then you must embrace Roman Catholic dogma. If you don't want to embrace it, then don't. You don't get it. They may be able to shut the mouths of a few weaker Christians like Jack Vandenberg or Billy Graham by declaring their ministries will be shut down if they don't retract previous statements made concerning the papacy in Rome. But, I mean, both these men, when they started out, were avid exposers of Roman Antichrist. Now, both are avid supporters of Roman Catholicism. But the true child of God who stands for the eternal word of God, they don't have a chance. Or so they think. The laws are slowly but surely making sure our rights are completely removed. But will it work? Well, according to Acts chapter 5, verse 28, they tried this before, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." They tried to stop people from preaching about Jesus before. That's not just because they were Jewish. No. The U.S. government's trying to stop you, too. They're not Jewish. And the true child of God will respond as he has done in the past. In the very next verse, 29, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." And because they see their threats are useless against us, they will change their strategy by declaring we preach heresy, and it is conducive to hate crimes. Many more weak Christians will agree with them, and because they don't know any better, and soon we will stand, as many already are today, all alone with Jesus. Yet we must echo the words of those who went before us. Acts 24:14. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." So how bad will it get? Do you recall back in June of 2003 when the Boston Globe coined the phrase Christian terrorist for the first time when they were talking about Eric Rudolph? And by the way, when I said that every fabric of society will be targeted by the anti-Christians of this world, I meant it. Listen to this next ridiculous article and try not to laugh, okay? Because this is serious stuff, but it's going to make you chuckle. Headline: Christianity harmful to animals, says animal rights godfather. CNSnews.com, July 1st, 2002. Princeton University professor Peter Singer, dubbed the godfather of animal rights, says Christianity is a problem for the animal rights movement. Singer, author of the book Animal Liberation and a professor of bioethics at Princeton University Center for Human Values, criticized American Christianity for its fundamentalist strain that takes the Bible too literally and promotes speciesism. He defines speciesism as the belief that being a member of certain species makes you superior to any other being that is not a member of that species. Okay, this is not only ridiculous, but it appears rather comical as well. I must say, I had a chuckle when I read this. You gotta be kidding me, I thought. No, but it appears this guy's serious. Sad thing is, the lily-livered, weak-kneed, cowardly Christians in places of influence will eventually go along with this crazed idea, just as they did for abortion and any other insane claims of the Christian haters. And they will do all this irregardless of the fact that it is written in the Creator's Word that we do have dominion over the animals. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. I mean, if it has anything to do with the Lord saying this must be done in this way, then let's attack it. The atheist is actually proclaiming their belief in God by their ridiculous claim that we shouldn't rule over the animals of this world. The key here is the fact that the Almighty made man in his image. And the atheist hates any representation whatsoever of the Almighty, even if it means his mere image. So what is the Roman Catholic Church seeking in all this? What is their agenda? Prophecy said the beast that killed more than 500 million Christians during its first reign of terror from 538 AD to 1798 AD, the exact, 42 months in Revelation 13, 1260 days in Revelation 12, or a time of times and half a time in Daniel 7:25. This beast would have its mortal wound healed. Did it not? This is what the Bible says. And what you saw in the past will seem very soon in our future, for prophecy does not lie. Keep in mind, people, those of us that embrace Bible doctrine as truth are considered heretics by the leader of the One World Church in Rome. The Pope used that descriptive term for us in his March 12, 2000 Mea Culpa address to the entire world when he admitted he killed heretics. The Pope used it. We are considered racists, bigots, hate mongers, and dangerous by the very court that is controlled by Rome now, the ICC, the International Criminal Court, the Roman International Criminal Court, by the way. They carry the solar wheel logo on their paperhead, or on their letterhead, as well as on their website. And we are considered prison worthy for committing what they define as certain crimes in their books, or hate crimes. Many of us will indeed be thrown into prison for simply proclaiming our Jesus to those in desperate need of his salvation. Are you ready for this? What is definitely about to happen? One last note, and if anybody, you know, likes to call in, this would be an opportune time, 1-800-858-6582. If they can't move you with torture, if they can't force you to deny Christ with death, if they can't stop you from preaching with laws, what will they try next? Your pocketbooks? May 31st, 2002, Religion News Today, headline, Pastor fined $1,000 for rebuking lewd woman. Yesterday in Dane County, Circuit Court Judge Paul Higginbotham, there's a mouthful, fined Pastor Ralph Obadell $1,000 for rebuking a lewd acting woman on the parking lot of the state-run Mazzolini Nude Beach and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to her. The judge also added court costs to the fine. Pastor Obadall's victim, Nancy J. Erickson, had asked the court to fine Pastor Obadall the maximum possible of $1,000 and put him in jail at night for 90 days and then on probation. The judge declined the probation, saying it would be too expensive to the state and it would no doubt do nothing to change the pastor's Obadall's behavior anyway. Both the DA and the judge stated, listen to this, that they can't consider Pastor Obadall putting him in jail, but they are afraid it would make him a martyr. During the sentencing hearing, Judge Higginbotham gave a long dissertation on his religious beliefs and stated to Pastor Obadell, I think you and I have different thoughts on what is preaching. Okay, he says, I think you and I have different thoughts on what is preaching. Yes, I called your conduct cruel, savage, truculent, and it wasn't preaching. Or truculent, I believe that means hostile. Hostile? Yeah. Now, granted, I'm not familiar with Dane County and Wisconsin state-run nude beaches. You know, I'm not going to go to any nude beach. I mean, this is not good. I'm a Christian, all right? But I do know that parking lots are not nude beaches. So the argument that this was a nude beach the preacher was preaching is moot. Still, some would question the preacher's decision to go to the parking lot to preach at a nude beach. I mean, is it no different than going to an abortion clinic? You know, the parking lot? Or how about outside a movie theater? Like with somebody's disgusting movies. I mean, you wouldn't go in the abortion clinic. You wouldn't go in the movie theater. And you certainly don't go on the nude beach. But the best thing to do is get near it and try to reveal to these people who are in grave danger that they are in grave danger. That's all the man was doing. Plus, the judge said the pastor's methods were cruel, savage, and truculent, which is hostile. I wonder, would this judge say the same thing about Jesus when he used a small whip of cords in the temple? Or how about when the Pharisees were standing before him and he called them liars in John chapter 8, verse 44, and said they were the father of the devil? Or how about when he called the Pharisees hypocrites? Yeah, I guess Jesus was cruel, savage, and truculent, according to this judge. You know, I have no doubt in my mind what the lewd-acting woman did, her being a nudist. I can surely imagine what transpired after the preacher tried to share the gospel of Jesus with her and alert her of her eternal dangers. Think about this. She does a lewd act in response to his message, and then the preacher does a holy act by rebuking her for it, and the Christian is the one fined. Kind of reminds me of a bumper sticker I saw on a young girl's car many, many years ago when I was a teenager. Wisconsin was looking for a way to beef up the tourism in the Chicago area, so everywhere you looked, there were bumper stickers that said, "Escape to Wisconsin." Then commercials were on the radio and the TV and all over the place on the advantages of visiting Wisconsin. I ain't got nothing against Wisconsin, don't get me wrong, I'm just saying. What she did with this bumper sticker was a joke. This young girl I saw altered the bumper sticker that she put on the back of her car to make it clear to everyone why she preferred Wisconsin. But it really wasn't Wisconsin, because everybody did. But everybody knew about the stickers because they were all over the place at the time. Everybody saw that bumper sticker. What she did is she cut the bumper sticker in such a way that it removed most of the name Wisconsin. She took out the letters Wiscon, you know, W-I-S-C-O-N, just cut that right off. And reset the sticker perfectly on the back of her. She put it on her window, not on the bumper. She put it up on the window, on the back window. So it would read, instead of saying escape to Wisconsin, it said escape to sin. Whatever beefs up the tourism, eh? The Agape Press comment under this next article summed up the preceding article rather plainly, that I believe says it all in a nutshell. They stated this on July 15th, 2002, and the London Associated Press is the article, and the Agape Press comments on it. It says, in a face-off over Britain's blasphemy laws, sidewalk preachers shouted Bible verses to drown out free speech activists who read homoerotic poem about Jesus Christ on the steps of a London church. The 17th century laws, which ban outrageous or indecent acts on Christianity, are under the review by the House of Lords, which may recommend abolishing them or extending them to protect other religions. Although blasphemy laws are rarely enforced, the activists said that they were risking prosecution by reciting the poem, which imagines a Roman centurion taking liberties with the body of Jesus after he was removed from the cross. A London minister who objected to the reading said that in a time when it is wrong to utter a racial slur, it seems the only person you're allowed to insult in this land is Christ. It really sickens my soul when I see stuff like this, you know. And it reminds me of that one movie they had where they stated that Christ was homosexual and all the apostles were his friends. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, I got a few more articles I'd like to share with you here. Let me dig them up real quick. These are mostly fairly recent articles that I've run across that I'm about to be putting on the website soon. Let me get this one here. Hateful words, a war crime. Listen to this. New York, Washington Times. I don't know what the date is on this one. It's pretty, let's see, February 1st, 2004 is when I got it. Yep, February 1st, 2004. I was going to read some experts from here. It says, without a trio of guilty verdicts yesterday, the UN Tribunal for Rwanda has established that men armed only with words can commit genocide. Think about that. Only with words. See, they're working this up for a reason. Three Rwandan media executives were convicted by the International Tribunal of committing and inciting genocide, war crimes, and persecution in a case that will set a precedent for the new International Criminal Court. And who do you think's running it? is the Roman International Criminal Court. The Vatican has control over that. They have control over the One World Church. I mean, you know they got control over that euro dollar. His image is stamped on it. And if you look at the euro dollar that runs through Europe that doesn't have his actual image on it, it has an image of a woman sitting on a beast. I mean, they're flaunting these prophetic images right before the people because the people don't understand what they mean. They don't have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 19:10, is the spirit of prophecy. See, that's why the dragon is angry with us in Revelation 12:17, because we not only keep the Ten Commandments, which prove they were not abolished at the cross. If they were, then explain Revelation 14, where it speaks of the mark of the beast, and the people that don't get the mark of the beast is in verse 12, because they keep the commandments and they have the faith of Jesus. See, he's trying to get everybody convinced that you don't got to keep these Ten Commandments so that you get the mark of the beast. But the main issue here is, of course, we can tell you today what the Pope's going to do tomorrow, and that takes them off. Not because we're prophets, because we're not. We understand prophecy. Continuing in the article, it says, there are weapons, the government-sponsored radio stations known as Radio Machete and Hate Radio, and a weekly newspaper whose agenda was the extermination of the country's Tutsi majority. You are fully aware of the power of words, and you use the radio, they said. Without a firearm, machete, or any physical weapon, you cause the death of thousands of innocent civilians, they're saying. Now, were you aware they are soon to make this law in the U.S. and Canada? Fact is, in Canada, you can be jailed for 5 years for using a Bible when talking to a homosexual about his eternal fate. Canada's House of Commons passed a bill in September of 2003 that caused the Bible to be considered hate speech when dealing with homosexuals. The gay lifestyle was placed under the protected category of Canada's genocide and hate crimes legislation, which carries a penalty of up to 5 years in prison. I mean, where will it end? Truth be known, many look upon this radio station as hatred merely because of most of the people on the station preach the undeniable truth about what's going on with this government. But if the powers that be see danger in our words, they will use the already affirmed law that states words can be a crime and jail those of us that speak truth. And it's no longer a question of if. It's now a question of when. I got one more here. Article here. A friend of the ministry, he cut the following out of an Indiana newspaper. It was obviously in the public opinion section of the paper. It makes perfect sense. And I thought it would be a good to share it with you. The comment was titled, Commandments, Batting 2 for 10. Now, some have said that the Ten Commandments should be placed in our courthouses because they serve as the basis for our laws.
We have Randy from Kentucky.
Some have said the Ten Commandments should have be placed in our courthouses because they serve as a basis for our laws. I thought I might examine that idea briefly, and then he goes on with the article and shows that this is not the case. We got Randy here from Kentucky. How you doing, Randy?
Yes.
Long time no hear.
How are you doing?
Are you there, Randy?
Okay.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me okay?
Nope. I can hear you a little bit.
You're coming in fine, but I don't have a whole lot to say. I'll make it short. I just want to say we're here behind you 100%, and you're doing a great job, and you pretty much say it all, Nick. Kind of leave us for